Sorry. So on the subject of right diligence, I just say that for the... I have a pen and maybe it's easiest to start with the board. So I'll just share for 10 minutes and Brother Fatlin will enhance the sharing. Okay, it's always nice to have Thay's circle if I can draw a circle. Breathing in, out. Okay. And we have starting to recognize this, anyone? So this is representing consciousness. It's not meant to be divided unevenly, but it doesn't. This is our mind, a sea for consciousness. Okay. Is this going to be better if I'm positioned like that? And store consciousness. So this is a model for the mind. There are other aspects of consciousness concerning with the senses, so they're often represented on the surface of the mind consciousness here, the ear consciousness, eye, etc., taste, touch, and then this store consciousness represents where all of our experience in life passed on to us through generations and evolution, and in our own experience of life in this present life that we find ourselves in, all the seeds are here in the store consciousness. See, we talk about seeds sometimes in terms of mental formations. So what can be touched in terms of seeds here can come up and we see them in our mind consciousness, and classically they are termed as wholesome seeds and unwholesome seeds, but with the wisdom of non-discrimination we can say they are simply seeds that we have. It's a more of a matter of how we take care of the seeds that determines whether we grow in a beneficial way or we get stuck and maybe cause ourselves suffering and other people's suffering. Because we all have all of the seeds, so we are better not to sort of say, I don't own these seeds, these don't belong to me, these are nasty, and be kind of discriminative, but rather embrace and recognize them. And for we also have all the positive seeds in us. And depending on causes and conditions in our life, they get prominence in our personality, in our way of being, or they maybe are subdued. So maybe if we were showered with love and kindness by our parents, we naturally have kindness and confidence because of that experience. And if we lacked some, maybe we feel we're lacking in that. So that can be one example. If we experienced a lot of anger coming towards us, we may have seeds watered in us connected with that experience. It may be that we have anxiety or fear quite strong in us because we experienced receiving anger, and also the seed of anger can arise in us in certain situations. Often we transmit the seeds that were watered in us to our children, for instance, in the way it comes, we see our behavior, we think we would never behave like our parents, and then we find ourselves with doing exactly that at a certain stage in our life, particularly when we have children. So this represents the store of seeds, storing all of the seeds. And these seeds can get watered and they can be dormant, not obviously there. And then when they get watered, perhaps somebody says something which feels hurts you. They maybe water a seed of pain in you and hurt feeling. And then this can manifest in the mind consciousness. And it might also trigger, connected with that, anger or maybe some other seed. But we all know our own little story of what gets triggered easily in us in certain situations. So supposing this is a seed of anxiety, just for example. So what we also have other seeds that can be watered, like a seed of mindfulness that we generate, for instance, this morning in a day of mindfulness. And if this seed is watered by the practice, this seed can also come up at the same time in the mind consciousness. And the idea is, in this case, that we would want the mindfulness to be able to embrace the anxiety. And that's partly what we did in the guided meditation. Just being aware of what is. The awareness is the mindfulness. And using that energy of mindfulness, awareness, to embrace, much as a mother embraces a baby that's maybe crying, embraces with a zone of energy the seed of anxiety or perhaps some other difficult emotion, feeling. To whatever extent you can generate mindfulness, it's helpful for taking care of this seed, so that when this seed, as it always will go back down, it'll have something else in the store with it, along with it. It'll have this other energy that's embraced it. And so when it goes down, there'll be a transformation at the base when it goes back down. That happens. And whatever we can bring, we try to bring. In the immediate situation, we can, if our mindfulness is strong, we can really take care of this right in the present moment and help the whole sense of anxiety dissipate and go back down very quickly. And we can learn a lot from that experience. And once we've made one experience of being able to take care of a difficult... Sorry, I'm turning a bit aside. Take care of a difficult feeling using the practice of mindful breathing, watering this seed of mindfulness. I'll give it an M here. We know we don't need to be afraid anymore of these negative seeds. We have the ability to take care. So when we come in contact with the Dharma, the practice, we realize we have the possibility of choosing to water positive seeds in us, maybe seeds that we feel are weak in us, and particularly mindfulness, we can water that seed to be able to take care of difficult things as they come up. And this gives us a sense that we can actually don't have to be a victim to our emotions, to our sense of lacking, but we can water seeds in us and in other people and go in a direction which is like we sometimes talk about cultivating a garden of love. Thay's book, Cultivating the Mind of Love, is a very beautiful title for a book. So, right diligence. Is this practice of watering the seeds, but in a way in which we bring the practice in, so we choose. Sometimes we can't help what gets watered, especially as a child, and also in the collective environment of the city, you get seeds watered with advertising, internet, all of these things. But with the practice, we can bring back some sovereignty into the situation, and we can choose. So we call it selective watering, and it has four aspects. And I'm just going to list these pretty much, and then let Brother Faplin take over. Just to say that selective watering has four aspects. Sometimes right diligence is termed right effort. And the selective watering involves, first of all, choosing to water positive seeds. So we come to a day of mindfulness. We know that we're watering seeds of mindfulness, loving speech, deep listening, compassion for ourselves, for others, lots of good seeds, aspiration, volition. So, watering the positive seeds. And again, to be careful with the term positive and negative, I'm just using it as shorthand for those which are difficult, you know, don't want to. But the next aspect is keeping when the positive seed is up in our mind consciousness, trying to keep it there for as long as possible, so that the longer it is in the mind consciousness, the stronger it becomes. And when it goes, even it goes back down, it'll be more available for us the next time. So, maintaining, for want of a better word, maintaining the positive seed in the mind consciousness. Sorry for shorthand. And the third, so this is relating to choosing to water the positive, maintaining them as long as possible so that they become stronger. And conversely, for the other two, so if this is 1, 2, 3, 4, Buddhism, we know we like our numbers. We have not watering the negative seeds. We have plenty of opportunities to take care of negative seeds as they arise anyway, so let's not choose to water more than we need. That's the idea here. It's not that we won't get opportunities, you know. So let's not overly, you know, let's not add to the problem and choose to water negative seeds. Make choices through your awareness, little decisions you make through the day to not water the negative seeds. Ask for help from those around you not to water those seeds through asking them to listen so they understand more what happens for you in situations. And when they do arise, helping them, helping negative seeds to return to the store. And as I said before, when we do that with love and embracing, not suppressing them, but rather embracing them with our energy of awareness and our love, compassion, non-judgment, then when they go back down, they'll go back down with something else, and there'll be transformation taking place in the store. And we can even ask the store at times, please do this work for me, even if I'm not aware. It'll happen if we have that, if we set that intention. So these are the four aspects, the four right efforts belonging to right diligence. As you know, part of the Eightfold Noble Path, right diligence. Thank you, and Brother, transfer the recording.
So, dear friends, thank you to Brother Phep Lai for already a very beautiful explanation of right diligence. Maybe I'll also stand on this side. The way I like to think of right diligence is kind of... It can be thought of as the kind of like the engine of the Noble Eightfold Path. This is kind of where it all happens, where the nitty gritty of it. I think I'll just. There we go. It's a nice, easy way to remember the Eightfold Path. For those of you who are not familiar with it, there's two sets of three things and then another two. So it's three, three, and two. Okay? So the first three, you can start anywhere, actually. That's the nice thing. You can start anywhere around the circle. But the first three, very easy to remember: mindfulness, concentration, and insight. Right mindfulness, right concentration, right insight or right view. Okay, so let's see if we can draw them clearly. So this is going to be right view, which Thay sometimes describes as a kind of view which is completely free from discrimination. And that arises from right concentration. And right concentration arises from practice of right mindfulness. I'm not going to spend too long on this, but it's just to give you a nice, easy way to remember this. So right mindfulness is what we've been doing all morning and hopefully what everyone enjoys doing in their daily life. Brushing your teeth, driving your car. It's basically just doing whatever we're doing and knowing that we're doing it. So I brush my teeth and I know I'm brushing my teeth. And the energy of mindfulness is generated. And it gets stronger. And then it's there for us. It's there to help us take care of situations, to help us recognize what is happening in the present moment, inside of us, in our emotions, in our body, our thoughts, and around us, in our environment. And when we can maintain that energy of mindfulness, keep it strong throughout our daily lives, then the energy of concentration naturally arises. And it's kind of like keeping the fire under the pot, you know. Don't let it go off the boil. When we keep the concentration, the potatoes get cooked. And sometimes we can talk about this aspect, the second of right diligence, as keeping the insight alive, maintaining. So we all have insights, we all have moments of understanding, of compassion, of awakening in our lives, moments when we feel more joy, more freedom, more compassion for ourselves, for our loved ones. But I speak for myself, sometimes you know, it comes, it's wonderful, and then I don't take care of it, I don't maintain it. So concentration is keeping our insights alive, maintaining them. And then when we do that, then spontaneously insight will come, or right view, which is this wonderful moments when we feel we're able to see things free from discrimination, free from our kind of dualistic thinking. So these are right mindfulness, concentration, and right view, or right insight, three. And these, when we have them, generate the next three. So when we have right view, then naturally we have right thinking. When we have right thinking, naturally we have right speech. And right action. Right action of, in terms of what we do. What we do with our bodies, what physical actions we take. And here. Okay, so here's three, and here's the next three. These are sometimes called the triple karma. So it's kind of what we are, in fact. We are our acts, our action. We're just made up of our thinking, our speech, our action, and that's what continues us in the world. So we want to take care of our thinking, our speech, our action, and make sure that everything that we think, everything that we say, everything that we do arises from this wonderful insight, free from discrimination. So these go together, the triple karma, arising from the practice. And when we have these, then we take care of our consumption and our production. So the Buddha was very practical, and he wanted to give a teaching that wasn't just for monastics, but it was for people in the world, people who had jobs, people who had to make a living. So he taught right livelihood. So that is having a form of employment or work or something that we do which goes in the direction of compassion, of love, of understanding, which is protecting, saving, which is full of compassion. So we, and Thay sometimes speaks of this as right consumption and right production. And basically that's encompassed by the five mindfulness trainings. So you can put this in the circle here. Right livelihood. Okay. So, what we consume, what we produce, what we do. And then, this is the bit I was getting to, the engine. What keeps it all going is the practice of right diligence. And so this is taking care of the garden. Taking care of our minds, taking care of what we've received from our ancestors, from our teachers, from our environment, from our society. And we have the role of the gardener. So we're given a field, not in control of what's in the field. There's all kinds of things buried there in the soil. But we can take care of it, exactly as Brother Phap Lai shared so beautifully. So then this is where we have the four aspects of the practice. And there's lots of different ways to remember the four aspects. But so one easy way is exactly as Brother Phap Lai shared. There's taking care of the positive seeds. There's two ways to do that, and then taking care of the negative seeds, two ways to do that. So we want to encourage our positive seeds to come up, and then we want to maintain them when they're already up. So sometimes I like to think of the first way of inviting those seeds to come up. We can think in terms of our environment. What kind of environment do we choose to be in? So for example, if you go to a retreat, then positive seeds are watered very naturally. Or if you come to a day of mindfulness, you come to a session of practice, positive seeds will be watered, and hopefully not so many negative seeds, maybe none at all. Maybe just the positive seeds have a chance to come up. So that's the first. Inviting the positive seeds to come up, allowing them a chance to come up, putting yourself in a place, in a situation, in an environment where all these wonderful things that we have in us as potentials will have a chance to arise. So we can think of the first one as, it's just another way. There's lots of different ways, but it's easy to remember if you think of them in these different ways. So choosing a positive environment. Okay, and then the second one I shared about already, this other way of thinking of it, which is as keeping the flame under the pot. So keeping the insight alive. So all those wonderful realizations that we've had in sitting meditation or in moments of transcendence, maybe sitting in nature, suddenly we understand something, we see something that we didn't see before. We can forgive. We can allow ourselves to heal. But then very quickly, if we're not careful, we'll go back into our patterns, we'll go back to our habits, and that insight will just go back to sleep. So we have to find ways to keep it alive, make it a daily practice, make it concrete, bring it into our lives. So then the third one is, I can't think of any different way to say it, but just refraining from watering the negative. And then the fourth one is when, exactly as Brother Phap Lai shared, when something's already come up, You're angry, irritated. What are we going to do about it? And Thay has this wonderful phrase. He says, we can change the CD. So there's maybe the music that's playing is not so pleasant, but we have a lot of other pleasant music inside us that we could be listening to. And I think we need to update it a little bit. Maybe it's changed the track now. So we can change the track, we can choose something inside us which is positive, compassionate, forgiving, helpful, and which will be able to come up and take care of the situation. So this is just another way to remember this fourth aspect of the practice. Okay. So, thank you for listening. And I believe we still have about maybe 20 minutes to take some questions, but also